I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We're at the end of the chapter. And while you're turning there, we're thankful for our visitors that are here worshiping with us. And also, I just can't say enough about the Portnier family. What a blessing it's been to have you guys.
Amen.
I feel like God sent you here for a reason, and I think about what a blessing you've been to the church family, but I know that you'll bless the congregation there wherever you go, and also I know I'm speaking on behalf of everybody that we just love you and we're thankful for you, and God's blessings on you and Godspeed on wherever He takes you. I can't keep going or I'll get choked up. When I think about Paul's letters, he ends those letters a lot of times talking about certain people, and he mentions them by name, and we don't know who they were. But when I think of our brothers and sisters in Christ, then I think, yeah, that's who Paul was talking about. Those that were dear in the faith. And somehow you've found your way here into this church family, and you'll always have your extended church family here.
We're just
going
to have to come visit.
Yes, that's right. Jessica keeps saying they're only going to be 3 hours away.
Two hours
away, depending on who's driving. Depending on who's driving. This morning we're going to look at two dear sisters. They both love the Lord, Martha and Mary. And when I think of them, I think about different personalities, different priorities, and it reminds me of when I was in school. I had this final exam that I had to pass to graduate, and I'm cramming for this final exam kind of at the last minute. And I show up at the time of the exam, and people are already turning in their papers.
Oh boy.
I was late. I somehow missed the right time, and I showed up in the middle of the final. And I think the instructor saw the look on my face that it was real. I wasn't faking it. And he let me take the exam after the final exam there in his office.
Oh, wow.
And so I was able to take that exam. However, I had a reoccurring nightmare for years after that experience. And this reoccurring dream was that I was supposed to be in this class, but somehow, and I needed this class to graduate, but somehow among the class load of all these other classes, I somehow forgot about this one class I was supposed to be at. And then it dawns on me that I was supposed to be in this class that's been going for months. And so I show up, and it's the day of the final. That's the day I show up, totally unprepared. Yes, it's a reoccurring nightmare that I've had over the years. And when I look back, it makes me wonder, you know, what was it that made me show up late for that final? Well, my personality was part of it. Because, you know, when you inventory your personality, mine happens to be, I put having fun as a higher priority than studying. So there's some personality involved. But then there's also priorities. Priorities get involved, right? And I wasn't putting the importance on the studying that I should have. And so you kind of mix that together, and then something like that is going to happen. Well, when we look at this account, we're going to see some personality, we're going to see some priorities, but we're also going to see a guiding principle that Jesus is going to give us that actually takes care of this. It's in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Let's first look at their personalities, because we do have a personality perspective, and Mary and Martha are sisters, and they both love the Lord. That is not in question. We're not going to pick on Martha. They both love the Lord. Martha loved the Lord. She's opened her home, and she's serving the Lord. And we know that later, after her brother dies, Lazarus, Martha is the one who gives the great confession. Martha is the one who says, "You are the Christ, the Son of God, that you're going to raise the dead on the last day." So Martha is a true disciple, but Mary loves the Lord too. And she's sitting at the feet of Jesus with full attention. Mary is the sister who later ends up breaking open that expensive bottle of perfume, that ointment, and pours it on Jesus' feet in this just total act of devotion. Both of these sisters love the Lord. That is not in question. But they did have different personalities. In Martha, we see her dedication, and that's in her working, serving Jesus. And listen, there was probably other disciples, because look, it happened as they went. I'm guessing that there's probably more people in the house than just Jesus. And so she's serving, cooking and cleaning and serving the Lord and his people. And this was her spiritual service unto the Lord, serving. But you have Mary, and I think of Mary in terms of devotion. So Martha in terms of dedication, Mary in terms of devotion. She's sitting and she's listening to the Lord at his feet. And we know that his time is drawing near. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And it's possible that Mary senses this. And so while Martha is serving the Lord, Mary's listening and learning from the Lord. And this is her spiritual service unto the Lord, sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening and learning. And so they both love the Lord. And really, you could say in different ways, because they had different personalities. You know how different personalities see things in different ways. That's just a fact. A friend of mine made this chart, and I adapted it just on the last line. But when looking at Mary, he lists Mary being contemplative, Martha being active. Mary being focused on the word, Martha's focused on the work. Mary being what some would call a type B personality, Martha more of a type A. Mary's spending time in the presence of God, Martha wants to give presence for God. Mary is focusing on a relationship. Martha's focusing on responsibility. Mary has a full heart. Martha has a full schedule. And like I said, when I think of Mary, I think of devotion. When I think of Martha, I'm thinking in terms of dedication. She was dedicated. If you were to substitute, let's say, an apostle, because remember, all the apostles, the disciples had different personalities too. I really believe that's by design from God. We're not all Peters. You know, we're not all Apostle Pauls. And there's something about how each of the 12 disciples had different personalities. Probably a personality for every one of us. But if I think of Mary, I think in terms of John. Mary being devotion, John being the devoted disciple who stayed at the foot of the cross and cared for Jesus' mother Mary in her later years. So that would be relationship-oriented. And when I think of Martha, I think of Paul. Dedicated. Like this dedicated worker that can't turn it off. Right? He was just a dynamo. And he was dedicated, he was driven, he wouldn't stop. And later he got frustrated with John Mark, was it? For not keeping up. So you have all different personalities in the kingdom. And they all love the Lord. So that's not the issues. we do have a personality, we do have a personality perspective, but we do have to look at priorities. Because really, I think deeper than the personalities is the priorities. Mary is sitting and listening to Jesus. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So I underline the word also because Mary's not being lazy. Okay? She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Meaning, she had been serving with Martha as well. Serving and learning from the Lord, both are necessary. But this word also indicates that she had been helping Martha, and now she's sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to the word of God. So Mary's sitting and listening to Jesus. Martha was distracted with much serving. But Martha, verse 40, was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. So, have you ever tried to do too much in too little of time? And you know how frustrated that is? That's the problem with procrastination. Don't get me wrong. Procrastination can help in certain situations if you're not sure what to do. But if you put it off and you got a deadline coming, you've got to do more with less. And as that deadline approaches, the frustration level goes up. And so, yeah, it's frustrating, especially if you feel like you're doing it all on your own, all on your own shoulders. You're trying to do too much with too little time, all by yourself. Yeah. Yeah, we've all been there with Martha. She's being hospitable. She's trying her hardest to make everything perfect. Her house is full of guests, and Mary is not helping. And Martha's feeling overwhelmed, and she gets upset. And really, we shouldn't be surprised, because we've all been there. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been out there in the yard getting grumpy over this and that, trying to do yard work, and then Lisa says, have you eaten yet? I'm like, oh, yeah, I should probably have something to eat. And then my mood, you know, I was hangry, I guess. It's not wrong to work hard for Jesus. That was good. Her problem was that she became distracted. She was worried and troubled and distracted over many things, meaning she got distracted from Jesus. She got distracted from what was most important and distracted with much serving. And so you could say it this way. Martha's problem wasn't Mary. It was Martha. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. First of all, she calls Jesus Lord, right? But then in the same breath, she rebukes him. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? Apparently not. And then she gives him an order. Tell my sister to help me. So, yeah, she calls him Lord, and then she criticizes him, and then she tells him what to do. So, Martha is focused on what Martha thinks is best, which we would say her own agenda, and then she wants Jesus to get on board with Martha's agenda, and then she wants Jesus to get Mary on board with Martha's agenda. Do you see how that works? Yeah. So, Lord, you need to get on board, because I know what's best. And I need you to get on board with my plan, you know, and then get everybody else on board with it too, because I know what's best. Martha's problem was not Martha. Martha's problem was not Mary. It was Martha. And she's become distracted. And this happens today. I remember our priorities can get messed up. And I remember talking to an elderly Christian woman in her 90s. And she had been a Christian counselor for many years. And I happened to meet her, you know, at the retirement home, giving lessons over there. And so we're talking, and I started telling her about all these things I was worried and troubled about. And she looked at me, And she says, "You're not free." And it just hit me right here. She said, "You're not free." I'm like, "Wow, yet you're right. I'm not. I'm not free." And it just hit me hard, the way she said it. I remember the expression on her face. I mean, it was an expression of compassion and sadness. It was like she was just being real with me. "You're not free." And so I started thinking about that, and I kind of made a list later. Signs that you're not free: excessive worry and fear. Excessive worry and fear just means you're not free. Need for control over others. That was what Martha was worried and troubled. She wanted to control the situation. Need for control over others, you're not free. Need for perfectionism. The problem with perfectionism is our expectations are high on ourselves and others, like unrealistically high. Unrealistic expectations on myself and others. And expectations so high that nobody's going to meet them. You think that would cause frustration? How about need for approval? You're not free. I mean approval of men, approval of the world. Need for virtue signaling to let people know how virtuous you are. The need to blame or accuse others. You know, we've all fallen into that. We attack or criticize others rather than face our own failures. Not free. And so that's kind of what we're talking about. These are priorities that could be a problem for us. It's a priority problem. And so what does Jesus do? He gives this one principle, the one thing that changes everything. And he gives this in verse 41. "And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Jesus gives us this principle of the one thing. There's many things, don't get me wrong, and it's unfair to just say that all everything else is not important, because there's a lot of things that we're all dealing with. Everyone in this room is dealing with something, maybe multiple things, and so that's not the point. The point is that there's one thing that changes everything, no matter what everything else, what are those worries are. This is the principle that Jesus is giving Martha and to us. And the principle is that there's a million things in life to worry about. But there's only one thing necessary that solves everything else. And that is hearing the word of God, sitting at the feet of the Lord, hearing the word of God. Martha is serving tables, but Mary was listening to the word of God. And both are good. Both are necessary, but only one of those two things changes everything. That was the better part that Mary chose. And so this goes to the issue of worry. Why do you worry? Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or God and earthly riches. "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" We do get worried. We do get troubled. I mean, we live in the age of anxiety. We're trying to get more done with less time. But we can't serve two masters. And we've tried. It doesn't work. It ends up in a disaster. Conflict, fear, worry, anxiety, stress. And so think of this going forward. When you lose your peace and your joy, stop for a moment and just ask yourself why. Just stop and think, why is my joy gone? Why is my peace gone? What's going on? Chances are you're going to find out that you're worried and distracted over many things and you're forgetting the one thing. You're forgetting the one thing. Chances are that's what's happening. And that's a good time to ask. When you lose your peace, when you lose your joy, you have a space there. Between stimulus and response is a space. And that is your choice. Your free will choice on how you're going to respond. And so when you are losing your peace, you're losing your joy, stop and just ask yourself, why is this happening? Chances are you're worried and distracted over many things and you've forgotten the one thing that changes everything, right? Putting God first. That's really what it amounts to. I think this is called the information pyramid. When you look at the information pyramid, you've got down here, you've got just data. Think of this as just raw data. Then above data is data that's organized, which we would call information. Above information, we would gain knowledge. Usually, we're down here. We're just swimming in all of this data dump of data and information. When I think of just raw data, just think of the daily news. Just daily news. It's just this drip, 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 drip. It just doesn't stop. That's data. It's just raw data coming in every day. This happened. Did you hear about that? Did you hear about that? This happened. This happened. Above that is information. And we get real proud about this. A lot of people spend their lives just right here. Maybe data, information, and knowledge. And they spend their whole lives down here. And what happens is they get worried and distracted of everything down here. And this is where they spend their life. Kind of like being in a current in the ocean and nowhere to get on land. You're just swimming with this current that's just taking you. This data current pipeline of just data flowing. And you're just kind of caught in it. The Bible calls it drifting. But anyway, above that, above data is information, above information is knowledge. By the time you're not going to get up here without the Word of God. For example, David says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Right here, above, you're not going to get here without God's word, amen. Right? Because the world is down here, but you're not going to get up here without God's word. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. You're not even going to get here without the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of it. Understanding is from the knowledge of the Holy One, from God's Word. But what's going to happen? We're going to spend all our lives down here, and we'll just debate all this stuff, and just round and round and round, this and that. You can't go any higher without God's Word. And so what happens is we get stressed out and we're worried and troubled over many things and we forget the one thing. You see, we forget the one thing. The one thing is keeping God first. That is the one thing that changes everything. So Jesus says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I remember thinking Jesus telling us not to worry, and I'm like, what does he know that we don't? I mean, we worry all the time about this and that, and not all of it's bad, but you can see that when we put God first, when we seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, that takes care of everything else. when we take our anxieties to Him and we cast our cares on Him, and because He cares for us. And so, seek first the kingdom of God and whose righteousness? Yes. Meaning, don't put your faith in your own self-righteousness. You know why? There's no peace there. There's no peace in building your house on sand, which is your self-righteousness. It's not good enough. You've got to put your faith on His righteousness. Not the filthy rags of my robe of righteousness, the robe of righteousness that God gives, made white by the blood of the Lamb. So my faith has to be in God and what Jesus did for me at the cross, not in how good I am on any particular day of the week. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not your own self-righteousness, His righteousness, purchased for you at the cross by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not worthy, but worthy is the Lamb that was slain for your sins. And so that's the one thing that changes everything. This is the principle that actually brings peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And so this is the problem with trying to put our faith in ourselves and being perfect, right? Because by doing that, we're just building our house on sand. We've got to build our house on the rock of truth, the rock of Christ, the blood of Jesus that makes our robes white. When Lisa's grandfather was dying, that was when we were first married, I got to meet him, thankfully, before he passed. He was an interesting guy. He didn't come to the Lord until later in life. He was probably in his 50s when he came to the Lord. Late 40s, mid-50s, something like that. After a mining accident where he went into a coma for a month. And he came out of that coma, and let me tell you, he decided to get his life right with God. He was given another chance. But in the end, at the end of his life, he didn't want television. He didn't want fiction. He didn't want the news. He just wanted the Bible. That was it. That's all he wanted. Why? Because that other stuff wasn't doing anything for him. Only the Word of God was helping at that point. Do you see the difference? So at the end of his life, you know, the family, would you like this? Would you like that? Just read the Bible. That's all he wanted. He just wanted the one thing. The one thing that changes everything. And that's what he wanted at the end. And so, in conclusion, think of this as an incident that tells us three types of Christians. It kind of describes three types of Christians. And the one Christian is those who choose to live devoted. Those who know how to serve, but they also sit at the feet of Jesus. And so they live a devoted life like Mary. In fact, by putting God first, they're actually able to serve other people without getting judgmental or stressed out or burned out or resentful, bitter, basically. And those are the ones who choose to live devoted. There's another type, and they choose to live distracted. And in this case, it was Martha. Those who serve God with the best of intentions, but without adding the one thing, the one important thing, which is a continued focus on Christ. And so what happens? They're a Christian, they're doing the best they can, but they get frustrated, they get stressed out, they get critical, they get burned out, they get bitter. Why? Because they're forgetting the one thing. They're doing all the right things, quote unquote, but they're forgetting the one thing. And what happens is, when you do that, and you're trying to do all the right things without the one thing, you just end up getting bitter and burned out. That's just what happens. That's just the way it is. So there's those who choose to live devoted lives. There's those to God. Those who choose to live distracted lives. And then lastly, there's those who just choose to live in denial. They're not even in the house with Jesus. They're not even. They're too busy. They're too busy doing other things. They're just not even there. because they're too busy with their own pursuits. I just want to say, though, that later, Martha, when her brother died, she did serve, just as Martha does, and she did it with true devotion. Where would we be without the Marthas? Nothing would get done. But at the same time, we really should have the heart of Mary and the dedication of Martha. We really should have both. And that's the beauty of it. They both were able to serve Jesus in a way that was pleasing. And Martha was able to serve the Lord later without the drama, without the stress, without the bitterness. All that was gone. She learned that lesson. And we can too. I told you about my reoccurring dream. How I had this reoccurring dream. How I knew in the back of my mind I was supposed to be doing something, but I wasn't, and I couldn't remember what it was. And then finally, I remember, and I show up, and it's the day of the final. Imagine that reoccurring dream, but imagine somebody who knew they were supposed to be doing something, but they just put it off. They were just living a distracted life. And then they go to Judgment Day, totally unprepared. Because even though in the back of their mind they knew they should have been doing something, but they waited and they put it off, they were just distracted, and then they show up and it's Judgment Day. We don't have to do that. We can live with peace that we've been given the gift of grace because Jesus purchased it by his blood at the cross. It's a peace that no one else has but Christians. Nobody else has it. To lose it is a tragedy. It's sad, and we've all done it. We've all lost that peace. We've all lost that joy at times. But it's the gift of grace that Jesus purchased at the cross by his own blood. And I know we're not worthy. I know I don't measure up. I know I get down on myself when I fail and sin. But I know that I need to go back. And I need to ask for forgiveness. And I need that grace. And I need that peace and that joy that the world wants to rob. And Satan wants to rob. And they want to dump all this useless data so you can't breathe. So you'll get drowned in this meaningless cares of the world. And take away the one thing that we need. And that is Jesus. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It is a choice. When he said Mary has chosen the good part, it is a choice. It's not forced on us. And so if you think about it, he stands at the door and knocks. But it's up to you to open the door. It's up to you to believe by faith, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, to repent of your sins, to be baptized into Christ, and to actually live in the light so that we can have access to this grace. Even though we're not perfect, we can be forgiven, and we can have this joy and peace that honestly gets lost when we're focused on ourselves. But it's gained when we focus on God. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Not on self, but on God. If we can help in any way, please let it be known as we stand and as we sing.